keeping the faith is beyond difficult. I can remember members of my former congregations who, in their grief and anger, would tell me that they had prayed and prayed and prayed for healing, for reconciliation, for restoration, for something that surely was in God's control. Yet despite their prayers, the friends divorced, the father would not give up alcohol, the spouse died. There are times when keeping the faith is beyond difficult. While many of us might not admit this, it is a common expectation concerning God in the matter of prayer that when we pray about something for time after time after time, and the answer doesn't come when we expect it to, we throw up our hands into the air and say, "What's the use?" Well, our text today from the Gospel according to Luke is a challenge to that notion. In these verses from Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples a parable and tells them what it's about. It's designed to teach them how important it is to be persistent in their prayers. The parable spoke to them, and it speaks to us, because among the followers of Jesus, in the church and in our own lives, everything rises or falls on prayer. So what are the truths that we can glean from this parable, short that it is? First, let's look at the players. There's the widow. We do not know the nature of her burden, but clearly she does have a grievance against someone, and it's lying heavily upon her heart. And so she goes before the judge to seek justice. Now, unfortunately, this unnamed woman has a number of things that are working against her, especially when it comes to seeking redress before a court of law. First of all, she was a woman. Women were not allowed to speak in court. In fact, women had almost no status at all except through husbands or brothers or fathers. She was a widow, so therefore she had no husband to speak for her. She was a widow, and they, among the women population, were a segment of society that was oppressed and often abused. She was a widow, and being a widow was synonymous with being poor. She had no money with which to grease the wheels of justice. She could not have paid a bribe if she had wanted to. But regardless of what others might consider roadblocks, she was determined. The Bible refers to her continual coming. This phrase suggests that she was begging the judge for help every day. When he would show up for court, there she was. When he went to the marketplace, there she was. She pleaded with him in front of his friends. She might have even stalked him at home. Everywhere he went, there she was, constantly asking him to give her the satisfaction. She persisted. She persisted because she knew that due to her lack of social standing and her lack of any kind of financial resources, she had no other hope but to get help from this judge. How she got in to see him, we do not know. But what we do know is that she made a nuisance of herself before him every day until she finally received what she was after. She persisted. Can we identify with this widow? Are there times when we are burdened with cares? cares, with worries, with fears, with troubles? And during those times, does it sometimes seem that every circumstance in life is stacked against us? We might each at some point in time in our lives yield to the temptation, what's the use? Especially after we have prayed and prayed and prayed about some matter. But if we can learn anything from this poor woman, it would be to learn the lesson that persistence in prayer pays off in God's time. Now, the other player is the judge. What do we know about him? Well, we can maybe assume he might be corrupt. We don't know that for sure, but what we do know for sure is that in the words of the Lucan writer, he neither feared God nor had respect for people. So from that, we might assume that all he cared about was himself and his own life. To better understand him, we need to understand something about the judicial system and what it was like in those days. One scholar describes it this way. The courtroom was not a fine building, but a tent that was moved from place to place as the judge covered his circuit. The judge, not the law, set the agenda, and he sat regally in the tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceedings from outside the tent, but only those who were approved and accepted could have their cases tried. And this usually meant bribing the assistant so that the assistant would call the judge's attention to that particular case. Whether or not this judge was corrupt, we know for certain he was uncaring. He turned a deaf ear to the woman's pleas for help. In the words of Scripture, we could say that he was hard-hearted. He was certainly close-minded to the needs of her, if not others. So why did he change his mind? In short, because he didn't really want to be bothered anymore. Who among us has not given in to the whining of a child, or the demands of an employer, or the expectations of a friend or spouse, simply because we didn't want to be troubled, we didn't want to be worn down by the conflict that might ensue? But in this parable, there's another probability as well. Since justice depended completely upon the person of the judge, the widow's constant pleas before him and the making of herself a nuisance was viewed by lots of people, and he may well have worried that it affected his own reputation. He may have worried that he seemed to have lost control over the situation, and so he gave her what she wanted. He declared a judgment in her favor. Now, Jesus did not say what the grievance was that the widow had brought to the judge, nor did he say how the judge resolved it. Neither was the point in the telling of the parable. The lesson here, God's word to the church, is that when we pray, we may not immediately get an answer. We may not get the answer that we want, but in our persistence, we will realize that God does answer in God's own time. There have been many ancestors in our extended family of faith who've encountered refusal and denial in their ministries. An example is John Wesley, the great father of Methodism. How many have contact or have a connection to the Methodist Church? You may have heard this before. He kept a diary, and from what I've read, his journal is among the one of the prized documents of the 1700s, particularly 1738 and 39. These are some of his entries. Sunday a.m., May the 5th. Preached in St. Lawrence's. Asked not to come back. Sunday p.m., May the 5th. Preached in St. Catherine Cree's. The deacons said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 14th. Preached in St. Anne's. Can't go back there either. These are his words. Sunday a.m., May the 21st, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday p.m., May the 21st, preached in St. somebody else's. I had to look at that, and he couldn't quite remember the name of it. Maybe St. Bennett's. Preached in St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. And then, a year later, March the 10th, 1739, preached in a meadow. 10,000 came, 3 weeks in a row. Like the widow, Wesley was persistent. He did not give up after he was asked or told not to return again and again and again. It took time for God to answer, but he didn't just sit back and wait. Like the widow, he persisted. George Muller was an evangelist in the 19th century in England, and he's best known for his spirit-led establishment of orphanages. But he also became known as a great prayer warrior, and on this subject he wrote, "The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere." God, to whom we pray, is nothing like the unjust judge. We may not hear the answer that we want immediately, or maybe we won't ever hear it ever. We know from the promises found in Scripture that God's ear is always open to hear the cries of the children of God. And sometimes prayer is answered immediately. At other times, the answer may be delayed for some period of time. The key is don't give up. God isn't just making us wait to identify when God acts. Our persistence in prayer demonstrates the depth of our burden. Think about it. If we pray for something once or twice and then give up, it's likely that it really was not burdening us. Muller might say, a genuine burden will put you before God and keep you there until God answers. So today, think about what might be burdening your heart, my heart. In our own families, there are situations that may be difficult or irritating, and then there are situations that weigh down and break our hearts. In the world in which we live, in this country where we have so many blessings, there are situations that are difficult and irritate us, and then there are situations that weigh down and break our hearts. We remember them on Sunday morning in our prayers. Do we pray about them every day? Do we post our grief and our anger and our uncertainty and our questions on Facebook? Do we pray about them every day? Today's parable puts three challenges before us. The first is be committed to prayer. Jesus said that we ought always to pray. We find the Apostle Paul's words in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means no intermission, no interruption, no Facebook. In today's parable, Jesus is telling us to be ready, to be on guard, to be watchful. We are to be in the attitude and atmosphere of prayer at all times. Because prayer is more than an obligation. It is our opportunity. It is our opportunity to be in touch with God. It is our conversation with God. Everything rises or falls upon prayer. The second challenge is to be consistent in prayer. Don't lose heart, don't become slothful, don't grow weary. Jesus challenges us not to lose heart when the answer to our prayer is delayed. Don't give up. Keep praying and don't lose heart. God will move. And the third challenge is to be comforted by prayer. The last question in verse 8 of our text today wonders if Jesus will find faith when he returns. That is, will he find his people persisting in prayer over the things that really matter? I think the answer to that question is up to you and to me. We may be faithful, or we may not. We might persist, or we might not. So where is the comfort in that uncertainty? It lies in what Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh. The comfort in prayer is this: God's people may not always do what we are supposed to do, but we can count on the Lord to keep every promise God has ever made. We may feel like giving up, but as we keep on praying, God will hear us, and God will answer those prayers. This is the promise of God's word to us. All power and glory to God's holy name. Amen.